Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Corinne Frenari, and I'm with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
That's terrific.
Hi, Corinne.
Hi, and hi, Reggie. Thank you. This is so much fun to be back. And now, last week, I wanted to bring this up. We had this amazing show. We had a show on testosterone. And what we had was, now help me out.
Nelson Virgil. Nelson Virgil.
I want to say Nigel, but it's Nelson. Nelson Virgil. We had him on, and he was explaining how his life's work has been explaining testosterone. He's got multiple web pages and supporting people in getting the testosterone that they need to maintain levels of health. We know that over 5 million people, that's within the ranges that we're, that within the ranges of the blood test, which personally, I don't agree with the blood test, but within those ranges, there's 5 million males that are low in testosterone in this moment as we speak. And less than 5% of them are getting treatment. And there's multiple reasons for that. There's lots of myths about testosterone. It's how it's used, how to use it, what's the most effective way, and all these myths on its dangers. Now, in the old days, it had dangers, and part of that is that it was improperly used. Just like anything that's improperly utilized, you have a high risk factor with anything. Okay, and in the old days, in the 50s, when it was first discovered, they used very, very high doses, and the first effect was joint pain went away, and all this pain went away. So they continued to use very, very, very high doses, and the end result is that people didn't do well. So now we have an understanding of how important testosterone is. There's not one organ in the body that doesn't have testosterone receptors. It's utilized for everything. It's utilized for brain and brain injury. And when people are high or not high, within high normal range of testosterone, they do better on testing. They do better on understanding. They do better on learning. And they have reduced sensitivity to pain. And as a result, you'll see people who are very low in testosterone needing very high doses of painkillers. And when you normalize their testosterone, their painkiller need goes down, even though the pain and the injury remained the same.
Wait. Let me just interject here before you go too far, because the flip side of it is that the opiate drugs decrease your testosterone. So the less testosterone, the more pain, the more opiates, the less testosterone. And so you're in this really vicious cycle. In order to break it, with any kind of success, you'd need to increase your testosterone to break that deadly cycle. It's a real, really important issue here. I wanted to make sure the flip side of it got in.
Thank you. Thank you. Then there's another thing is when young men's testosterone starts going up, what do they feel? They have joy in stress. They get joy in working heavy workouts in the gym, and they have less sensitivity to the pain that it could or would create because their pleasure in the stress becomes so high. And I could go on for the whole hour explaining the benefits and where we see it in each individual organ. But there's two things I want to do, and Carol and I discussed this, is that since testosterone, you know, since there's so many myths in relationship to testosterone, we know that you, male and female, have questions. Please don't call at the end of the show and then we have to sneak in a quick answer. Call early because we know you have questions. We know you want to understand. There's very, very few people that feel comfortable in their knowledge or understanding of testosterone for themselves, for their bodies, for their mates. So I would love you to call. The number to call is 212-209-2877. It's 212-209-2877. And I want you to know the best part of the show, what really adds to the show, is your input. And so we're looking for you to ask the questions that will give us the direction so we can share. When you ask a question, you're not asking just for yourself. You're asking for 100 people out there who probably had the same question but didn't stop to call in. And when we answer that question, we're directed toward answers that many people wanted to hear. So please call in 212-209-2877 and we will be glad to take your questions. So Carol, let's talk about, is there a crisis in testosterone? And if so, where did it come from and why?
Okay, before I answer that, I want to jump back to one of the things you said about the abuse of testosterone. And what has happened is we have had synthetic analogs methyl testosterone. And methyl testosterone, as it occurs, does cause liver disease and liver cancer. It's a form of a foreign chemical to our body. And there's a number of testosterone analog drugs that have been abused by bodybuilders, for instance. Testosterone is a natural precursor to estrogen, and the bodybuilders chose to use a synthetic analog that would not convert into estrogen. So they had numerous, and may continue to do so, health problems instigated by putting foreign hormones into your body. So you also mentioned something that sort of pertains to the question you just asked, is about blood testing for testosterone. And we should talk about optimal and normal. The normal range seems to be created by labs by using the data they get from their clients. Unfortunately, those clients aren't the picture of optimal health, and their practitioners are sending in the test requests to get some more data. But they contribute to this pooling of data for the labs. And as time has gone on, the normal values of testosterone has shifted downward. So we're calling it normal, but it's sort of a compilation of what's happening. And what's happening is really frightening because we are seeing a big slide in the amount of testosterone an individual has.
All ages.
all ages. And let's just do one thing here. The hormone cortisol is one thing that contributes to a decline of testosterone. So the more stress you have, the more your body creates cortisol. It's trying to protect you from inflammation and pain. But there is an opposite effect on the body. The higher the cortisol, the lower the testosterone. So the more stress we're under, and just consider the last few years of our lives, we've been under tremendous, tremendous stress one way or another. So I'm predicting those normal values in the blood test will probably go down further still. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I think so too, but there's another piece of that cortisol in that what it does is it stiffens the receptor sites. So here you have cortisol increasing. You have testosterone being blocked, but with stiffened testosterone receptor sites, even the testosterone that you have difficulty connecting to the receptor sites. And the end result is that you're not even utilizing what you're making. You know, when I was in training a few years ago, quite a few years ago, as a matter of fact, I very much remember that normal ranges were 450 to 1200 on a blood
test. For men.
Yeah, thank you. 450 to 1200. Now, 1200 is abnormal. It's an abnormal range, and the normal range has gone down to 280. When I was in training, if it was under 450, we were told we had to discover or start looking for a cause, that there was a problem there. Now, 285 up to 300, up to 325 is still normal range. But people don't feel well. Men do not feel well at that low level. It's becomes pretty unfair to males to say, oh, well, you're normal. You're 325. I really can't treat you. And yet, the patient doesn't feel well. He's not as clear. His mind isn't as clear. He doesn't have the energy to get up and go. He's more willing to sit on the couch and drink beers, which beer is an incredible testosterone reducer. Exactly. The hops go straight to the belly to make belly fat, and belly fat has its own what they call enzyme, and it's called an aromatase enzyme, which converts whatever testosterone you have into estrogen. So you've got a whole circle there of people that don't feel their best. They're not as motivated. They don't have the energy that they used to. Their bodies are changing, which is not pleasant for anyone, for themselves or their mates. And there they are with a very low motivation to make change.
And there's another estrogen piece I don't want to forget while we're right there. There's a carrier protein in the blood, sex hormone binding globulin. And it binds preferentially to testosterone and dihydrotestosterone, the metabolite of testosterone. But its amounts are increased by the presence of high levels of estrogen. So as you're talking about this more body fat, here's another circle that ends up having low amounts of testosterone being readily available for use. As it's traveling around on this binding protein, it's not getting into the cell as easily. So your functional amount of testosterone, if you measured your total testosterone, it might look okay. But if you measure the free testosterone that's not bound to this carrier protein, you could easily have not enough. And so if people are getting tested for testosterone levels, they should be doing both total testosterone and free testosterone. And while you're at it, why don't you measure your estrogens? But having said that, estrogens can come in more than one form. I see a lot of people measure the primary estrogen, estradiol. And if that seems okay, that's it. But estrogen hides under many, many faces. So there's a metabolite estrone that's coming from your fat cells that could be elevated. You could have any number of metabolites of estradiol and estrone being elevated. You don't know until you measure it. You could have other things. Receptors could be activated by things like heavy metals activate estrogen receptors, and it's just like you had the hormone. Or you can recycle your own estrogen. You try to excrete estrogen into a bowel, and when you have a disordered microbiome, and how many times have we talked about microbiome? A lot. That some bacteria produce an enzyme that cleaves off the conjugate that the liver has put on the hormone in order to excrete it, and then it gets reabsorbed and adds to your body burden. And then there's so much with the liver. If the liver's unable to do that conjugation, we're talking. That means we've got to add a methyl group. Methylated B vitamins, for example, could be not readily available, or we need sulfur. Our major liver antioxidant detoxifier, glutathione, gives us the sulfur we need. Or
but
there's
guess what, Carol?
What? What?
I got my head spinning. I'm getting a headache. It's becoming impossible to deal with. But what happens is that it doesn't have to be that complex. Although when you really get to it, just like Carol can go down rabbit holes with the complexity of all hormones, and that's why we love her. At the same time, it can be simpler than that, and that's what we're going to talk about in the next short period of time, how much simpler it can be while we're creating balance and feeling better, and we're feeling like we used to. This is just not what many people say, and many doctors tell their patients. Well, you're getting older. This is not a normal relationship to aging. How many older people we know that have more energy than we do? They're active, they're this and they're that. And guess what? That's keeping them young. But it has two levels. One, if you really look at their blood levels, they probably have higher hormone levels. And two, the higher hormone levels and the energy that they're putting out in their life is what's keeping them young. And it's true. The number to call, 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Come join the conversation. So, let's talk about some of the causes of low testosterone. I got a list here, and there's one.
Well, let's do. I want to do the cholesterol phobia stuff.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in one second. One is high estrogen. And when the estrogen is very high, you're going to block your testosterone. Well, where does that high estrogen come from? It comes from multiple things. It comes from beer. It comes from weight gain. But it also comes from plastics. You know, you never – how many times have we gotten in our car and there's a plastic bottle with some water in it and it's all warm, but we still drink it because we're thirsty? That has had plastics leach into the water from the heat. And now you're drinking that. And these are hormone or endocrine blockers. And we don't really need those. A good water filter can clean a large portion of those out. But if they're high in your body, you know, one of the major things to get rid of them is saunas and sweating. Sweating is very powerful to release these plastics and toxins. But then there's one other thing. Let's talk about this one, high insulin.
Uh-huh.
Insulin is high, your testosterone is low. If your cortisol is high, your testosterone is low. Insulin has the same effect on testosterone receptors as does cortisol. It stiffens them. So it makes more room for itself while it's blocking testosterone. So there you have this. And there's a circle here, Carol. I just want to focus on the circle. We've always spoken about how we can control our hormones. And it's all about insulin. And we can control our insulin through our food intake, through a low-carb diet, through eating in an intermittent fasting diet, fasting way, where you eat one meal a day or you eat two meals, but in 4 hours, and the rest, that's called, they have another name for it. It's called the warrior diet. And why is it called the warrior diet? It's called the warrior diet because it pushes up your testosterone and your growth hormone when you eat in that way. And your body becomes lean. If you eat adequate proteins, you have enough nutrients. If you eat adequate fats, you have enough precursors so you can build the hormones your body needs for a warrior diet. And that's what we're dealing with. Another Carol, you
wait, let me just go before you jump from food. Make sure your food isn't covered with glyphosate. That insecticide that is becoming everywhere, either directly sprayed on your food or drift when they're spraying, is estrogenic in nature. So add that to your pushing the estrogen side of things. Make sure your food is clean food and hasn't been dusted somewhere in the process with Roundup.
And then we're talking about statins, where you wanted to go, Carol.
Yeah, I did. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to bring up. You're going to want to go there too. Oh boy, you're going to. Jumping at the bit. Okay, go on. Statins. Talk about.
So all our lovely steroidal hormones, which includes sex hormones, adrenal hormones, vitamin D, bile, all of these things come from cholesterol. And we have been, it's been a couple decades now, we have been propagandized to fear cholesterol, yet it is the building block for all these very important hormones, and a building block for each and every cell in our bodies needs cholesterol in their cell wall. For example, let's say you had an injury and you went and had your cholesterol level taken. It might be high because your body is busy producing it to help you heal from the injury. This is not a reason to jump on a statin drug to stop the production of cholesterol. So I think cholesterol is somewhat of a miracle molecule. And if we don't eat enough fat, we don't have enough building material to make that cholesterol ourselves. Most of the cholesterol we have is made in the liver. It's not so important what you eat. We've induced other problems because of the way we've been directing people to eat. And so there was a researcher, his name was Jens Müller. He wrote two books. One was Cholesterol, said cholesterol. The other one said testosterone.
He wrote it in the 60s or 50s?
Something like that. I just looked for the testosterone one on Amazon, and it's got a big price tag on it, but you could rent it for 2 weeks for like $38. I'm just flabbergasted. But I have his books, bought them a long time ago, and I'd like to highlight this feature of testosterone. And it is that this doctor treated diabetics with gangrene. They were going to have their limbs cut off, or people with severe heart disease. He treated them with very large doses of testosterone, so much so the females had some complaints about growing hair and voice changes. And Dr. Muller says, well, do you rather be dead? So he didn't much care about, yeah, that was the option. But it illustrates how important testosterone is to the integrity of our bodies. If somebody is having an infection in their tissues, testosterone is the protein director in our body. Hormones are directors, and all proteins are made under the direction of testosterone. So if you do not have enough testosterone, you can't make all those immune components that we need to keep our immune system working.
Or if you have an injury, like broken bones, like burns, you can't heal without adequate testosterone, because that brings, testosterone brings the protein into the tissue, into the bone, into the joint, which allows the healing to take place, and our bodies need it. So you know what else gets in the way of us being able to make testosterone is liver damage. Mm-hmm. When we have liver damage, when we have elevated iron in the body, what happens is when the iron is elevated, we can't make testosterone. It's very important to be aware of our iron status as we get older.
That's another problem. We're using ferritin, which is considered a storage form of iron, but it's better considered a inflammatory marker. And we really shouldn't be putting in more iron. For that kind of thing, we've been listening to all those Geritol ads for decades, how you need more iron for your blood. And actually, copper turns out to be more important to help make your red blood cells than iron is. So there's a big problem here with people willy-nilly thinking they need iron, and as a result, they could be compromising their testosterone production.
Another thing that compromises testosterone production is low-fat diets. When you're on very extreme low-fat diets, we know that the cholesterol and the fat is necessary to create the hormones, our hormones, particularly testosterone. So severe low-fat diets are not the way to go. They're not the way to go to lose weight, or if they are specifically for weight loss, which I don't usually I do not recommend that, they're for very short term, because our bodies need that fat, and we need it to make our hormones. Another important piece here, let's talk about this, is that we need vitamin D also. Vitamin D is very important to create testosterone. Vitamin D is a pre-hormone, and our bodies need it to be able to make our hormones, and particularly testosterone. Also, zinc. Zinc is essential for our ability to make testosterone. Carol? Oh, the number to call, let me give you the number again. Mm-hmm. 212-209-2950. And it's going to be interesting, because I know we're going to get a bunch of calls right at the end. And then everybody have lovely, very intelligent, long questions that that we really won't have the time to answer. So call us now, and we do have the time right now. The number to call, 212-209-2877. So, Carol, what more about testosterone? Now, there are all these clinics that are around. Mm-hmm. And you just, and they're called male test or T clinics or male clinics. You walk in there and they give you a shot, and you go there every 2 weeks or once a month and get a shot of testosterone. Sometimes you have a blood test beforehand. Sometimes they do a blood test as a follow-up, but they're not. People are not really being watched.
And so Corinne, we have a caller waiting.
Let's invite them on. One more statement.
Okay.
Injection where you get a high amount of testosterone, where your testosterone surges up, and then you wait a month or even 2 weeks to get another. That's not the way our bodies work. Our bodies are more even, more consistent. And with that consistency is a good level of health and feeling well on a daily basis, not just once a month or for 3 days a month. So keep that in mind. So, hi, you're live on WBAI. Your name, please.
My name is Dee. I had such a problem getting through.
I'm sorry. What happened?
I don't know. Maybe you might want to check, with the engineer, but it was very difficult to get through.
Well, I'm glad you made it. Thank you for your perseverance.
Yes.
First of all, I found it very helpful. You're giving us some tips about how to produce testosterone in our bodies with vitamin D and eating, good fat for our bodies.
Because and protein.
I got to say to you that your program is very empowering. And most people are very frustrated with the information that's given about the medical system and how the body works. So welcome back. Thank you so much for all that you do. And then I just have one other question. I think the last program you spoke very briefly about pain and testosterone and how it could have a positive impact on a chronic pain. Did I misunderstand that?
No, not at all. Carol, we'll let Carol answer. We spoke about it a little bit at the beginning, but this is important for men and for women. It's not just for men only. And we also, I want you to understand that there are different ranges when we're dealing with men and women. So we're going to need to emphasize both, but testosterone is essential in the correct range for both sexes. But Carol, talk a little bit about pain and testosterone.
Well, right. I talked about that circle of opioids knocking down your testosterone level, and your sense of pain increases as your testosterone goes down. But I'd like to refer the audience to Dr. Forrest Tennant, the former president of American Pain Association. He has written many, many articles about how hormones affect pain and whether you have pain relief or not pain relief. So having a better testosterone level definitely would help pain. And when you have chronic pain, you have constant high cortisol that counters the testosterone as well. So there's another piece there. I think we have some more callers. Thank you for your question, Dee.
And thank you for your input. It really helps us. Thank you very much. So, hi, you're live on BAI.
Yeah, hi.
Hello?
Melanie. Thanks. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
I would love you to speak up just a little, please. We can hear you, but...
All right, is that better?
That's better, thank you.
Yes, I put my phone to my ear, which I don't like to, but I just want to say thank you very much. This information is extremely important. I've been listening to more and more about the issue of men, especially over 50, that have less testosterone levels than most women. Dr. Martin
yes.
is a wonderful doctor in Canada and comes on Facebook Live, and he said, I guess back in the 40s, testosterone levels in men used to be, I think it was between 1,000 to 1,400. And he actually recommends them, to be over 1,000. So my question to you is, for women, what are the best natural sources to increase your testosterone, like food sources or other natural sources? I mean, I know good fats, animal fats, are essential, and low carb, I get that, but could you be a little more specific?
There's one more thing that can be very specific to increasing testosterone, and I looked into this quite rigorously because I worried at the time we wouldn't have access. In the natural world, pine pollen and bee pollen have either some testosterone itself or some analogs of testosterone that are very beneficial.
There's
so
one other...
Bee pollen and pine pollen? Okay, thank you.
Yes, yes.
There's another herb. But first of all, like you said, I would set the scene for it by eating in a way, because if your insulin is high, if you're diabetic and you're taking herbs to build up your testosterone, it just counteracts each other. So you said the right thing in that you want to eat in a clean and clear way, which is very important, essential to allowing anything to work. But there is an herb, it's called Tangka Ali. And what they're finding in males is that it regularly builds testosterone levels. Now, it's not going to double or triple them, but it'll bring them up 100, 200, up to 300 points on their blood test, and people feel better. It's a natural herb out of Indonesia or Asia, South Asia, and it's getting quite accepted here. And it's a lovely herb. It also works for women. Numbers I do not know. I don't think they have really studied the numbers, but women feel better on it. And it does build up their testosterone levels. And thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. We have a couple more people. Hello. You're live on WBAI. Let me give out the phone number for anybody else that might want to call. 212-209-2877. Hello. You're live on BAI.
Hi, how's it going? I had a quick question.
Terrific.
Thank you for, I love the information on the show. Thank you for hosting this. This is my first time actually discovering this show, even though I turn on WBAI regularly. It's an amazing station. Two questions. What's the name of the show? And I apologize for that. And number two, so if someone had gone through a hysterectomy, and again, there's different advices that's given, so some go through it, how would someone either recover or moderate or, increase their hormone levels post-surgery? Thank you.
I'll start that out, Carol, if that's okay, and then I'm going to pass it to you.
Okay.
Hysterectomy is very important because it's a surgical castration. We don't think of it that way. Now, maybe her ovaries were left, so you might have trinklings of hormones still being released, but that will dry up because of the radical surgery that happened. So what you will have is a woman who had hormones, possibly excessive hormones. We don't know why she had a hysterectomy. Very often the cause of hysterectomy is excessive bleeding due to fibroids. And what does that tell us? That tells us that her hormones were imbalanced in the first place. She went in, she had a hysterectomy, and everything was just cut off. all her hormone, not all of it, but a large portion of her hormone supply, the majority of it was limited or eliminated. So it would be wonderful if she could to go to a doctor who understands a low level and very sensitive level of working with natural hormones. If by chance she had the hysterectomy due to excessive bleeding and due to fibroids, she had very low progesterone and her body was screaming for progesterone when she had the surgery. So that's why it's important to have someone who's not just, oh yeah, I know how to do natural hormones, here's the formula, I read it in a book. Who's someone who has the sensitivity of understanding how to create balances in the body and is willing to work with her to find the balance that is right for her. So that's someone who does hormone replacement therapies naturally. Carol, you have, I know you have something to add to that answer.
Yes, yes. Hysterectomy usually refers to only the uterus, but the ovaries can be damaged. And often we say hysterectomy and we mean ovaries too when we're talking about
exactly.
It. 50% of a woman's testosterone is lost when the ovaries are either removed or damaged. So why don't we just die after that? It's because the adrenals try to pick up the slack. But they may not be in good shape to do that. So many women in the situation have a horrible life, quality of life going on. And this is when you really need the real thing. Nothing will substitute for the real testosterone that this woman needs. And testosterone is a hormone that is far more abundant than estrogen. We think of estrogen being a female hormone, but even if as females, we have much more testosterone than we have estrogen. Progesterone, as Corinne said, is vital. Dr. Katarina Dalton said women with hysterectomy need far more progesterone than women with natural menopause, and this is being ignored by most practitioners. If you don't have a uterus, you don't need progesterone. No, every cell in your body needs progesterone, and likely you've been starved for a long time without progesterone, leading to the hysterectomy. So it's huge. In order to be comfortable after hysterectomy, with or without ovaries, you need lots of progesterone.
And I'd also like to say, I really, most women who their doctors are being very aware, they've had their hysterectomies. So then their doctors, in order to help them feel better after such a severe treatment, give them estrogen. And very often, that's just not the way to go, that there needs to be a complete balance. There needs to be the progesterone to calm the brain and the nerves and to help sleep and protect bones. There needs to be the testosterone for energy, for mental focus. And possibly there needs to be some estrogen to create a balance, but that's to be determined. So find someone who's very experienced in natural hormones. So I want to thank you for your call. And Carol, we got a little, are there any more callers?
I think there's another caller.
Another caller. Well, that's wonderful.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so excited.
Hello.
I'm going to give the number first and then we'll 212-209-2877. So we love your calls. It's just a pleasure. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're terrific. I'm terrific. How about you, Carol?
Wonderful.
I can hear it in
can
your
you?
Voice. So how can we help you?
What can my wife eat to gain weight? She weighs only 80 pounds.
How tall is she?
4'10".
Is this a recent weight loss?
Over 5 years. She weighed 100 pounds 5 years ago.
You know what? There's something I would not There are foods you can eat, but I would like her to see a doctor. I'd like her to see a practitioner, to see a doctor. 20-pound weight loss, that's 20% of her body weight in just a few years. How old is she?
76. The doctor wants her to drink Ensure.
Oh, no. That would not be my favorite. And there are some really wonderful, absolutely wonderful drinks. Usually I don't use drinks, but the one I do use is Inflammacore by Metagenics. I'm not connected with that company at all. And then I put some coconut oil in there, and it's quite nice tasting. It brings down inflammation in the intestines, and that is not in place of a meal. That's between meals. She needs avocado. She needs digestive enzymes. She needs probiotics. And I know she can't take a lot because she's at a day at home. She's coming to, if not already there, at a dangerous weight level.
When you look at this, this is what's called sarcopenia. That's when you're losing your muscle mass and even bone mass and your skin. You're on a downward spiral, and this is really connected with hormones too. It's a perfect, if you can picture your wife and older people that are suffering in this way, it is a severe lack of hormones going on too. And this could be helped, and especially the anabolic ones, the ones that build you up, which testosterone is, its metabolites are, DHEA is, growth hormone is. So I agree with Corinne. You should see a doctor for her, somebody who knows how to do this, because that is reversible.
And this is a very delicate stage. You need guidance. And it's not guidance from a radio show that can't be following the patient.
Great question, though.
Thank you so much for calling in. The number to call if you have questions is 212-209-2877. And you can also call us back and tell us how she's doing, what you did, what action you took, what was successful. And guess what? We have another caller on the line. So, hi, you're live on BAI. Your name, please?
Hi, my name is Mike. Hi, Corinne. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Mike.
I have two quick questions. Before I get to the questions, let me just preface this by saying, personally, I know you really haven't discussed this today, but I don't believe in keto diets, high protein diets, any particular diet. There's only one diet I believe in, and that's the Bible diet. Whatever the Bible says, I believe it's an instruction manual for life. So having said that, though I do eat meat, I don't really believe in eating meat. I believe the Bible says that fruits and vegetables and grains and nuts should, for this shall be your meat. So does the body synthesize cholesterol from plant sterols if I were to be vegan? And my second question is, about 10 years ago, I lost like 90 to 100% of the hair on my legs, primarily from my kneecap down to my ankle. And I've always wondered, I haven't really been thoroughly checked by any doctor for it. My testosterone was checked about a year ago, and it was very normal, actually in the high range. I wanted to know...
What was very normal? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, my testosterone, I was told by a urologist, was very normal in the high range, actually, I believe, for my age. So... because I had a nurse say to me, who had given me a pre-surgical exam for something else, I mentioned it, and she said, I was concerned that it could be my circulation to the little capillaries down there, and she said it's probably hormonal. Now, since my testosterone checked out okay, are you still inclined to believe that it could be a hormonal imbalance? I have been under a lot of stress for years. were probably circulatory.
Yes, it's actually losing the hair on your lower legs and actually your armpits is associated with low DHEA.
And low thyroid, particularly from your knee down, is low thyroid. So it can be hormonal. And you said that your doctor said it was a normal range. I'd love to know low numbers. I don't know what normal means. When people say, oh, my cholesterol's normal, or my this is normal, or my that is normal, I don't know what that means till I see. Because when I look at a blood test, I don't just look within their ranges. I see deeper than that. And some of their ranges, I don't agree with. I don't think that they're saying it's normal and I believe it's normal. I still feel that some people within that normal range need to be treated. And also when we talk about, I'm going to jump back to your first statement. First of all, I don't think there's one diet for everyone. I don't think the Bible diet is the best for people living in the Yukon. They would die on that diet, okay? And there have been tests and there have been people who went up to the Arctic and took their beans and their grains and ate that way and became very ill, and they were dying until the Eskimos brought them in some whale fat, and they chewed on the whale fat and they were able to heal themselves. So I believe that this is a very large world, and there are different diets for different people. I don't believe in just high protein either. I believe in a balanced diet. And I believe that the Bible diet could be very close to Mediterranean. I believe that if you go to Turkey right now, you would find a diet that's very other than the McDonald's that they have on the corner. But when you eat the foods that they would eat normally, the hummus, the vegetable, the tomatoes cut up or the greens cut up, and a little bit of meat, just a few little pieces, usually. Goat or lamb, then what we have is a diet, I believe, that's very similar to what we're talking about that was eaten 1,000 years ago, 1,500, 2,000 years ago. And that's
Mike had a question still, Corinne.
I'll let him finish his question. Let me finish my answer. When you have that, I think you're being very close to what would the people who were writing the Bible were eating. Go on, Mike, your question?
My initial question was, though, let's just say if I don't believe in eating meat, though I do, and I love the taste of meat, quite frankly, but will the body synthesize from plant sterols, will it produce in the liver or wherever, will it produce cholesterol?
Oh, yes. It'll produce some cholesterol, yes, without a doubt. Particularly when you eat things like avocado, when you eat things like coconut, it will produce cholesterol. The body makes cholesterol out of good fats. Now, does that include eggs? Eggs are one of the best foods you can have. The egg yellow with beautiful choline and beautiful cholesterol that was put together by nature to keep us healthy. Does that include eggs?
Okay, let me interject the plant sterols. In all the herbs that are considered adaptogens, those sterols, those cholesterol-like molecules, have a function in our body. But if you look at all the hormones that are made from cholesterol, very little changes in the molecule produces big changes in the activity. So the plant steroids do have activity, but whether it's going to fit your needs precisely, that's really debatable, and I think never really studied very thoroughly.
So I want to thank everybody that called in. What a pleasure. I just want to thank you all because you made a wonderful show. What fun. I love answering questions. I love when people call and direct the show with their questions. And I love working with Carol. It's just an absolute pleasure, Carol.
Oh, my pleasure, Corinne, to be here.
I know. And guess what's happened? Another wonderful hour has passed by. So thank you so much for being here with us. We'll be back next week with Carol and I, and hopefully maybe with a guest. We have a guest.
It's going to be a great show.
So please tune in. And for those that are new hearing this show, this is Take Charge of Your Health. And we'll be back next week. Thank you, Reggie. Thank you.
I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.